Okay. Good morning. We're holding in Perek Mem and of the Nefesh Yisrael. The Gemara here, the Maral here, is going to analyze again in these prakim. This seems to be the general approach, the style of the Maral, putting together a number of stringing along a number of different mamore chazal corresponding to the Moshiach, and just exposing as such different aspects, different elements of it. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, Ve'efes Otzur Ve'ozuv. Right? Ve'efes Otzur Ve'ozuv. There's no one helped, so to speak. So the Pasuk, the Gemara darshins, Ki'vayochel Ein Tzemech Ve'ez Me'en Ezer Li'Yisrael. It seems, so to speak, as if there is no one that is supporting, helping the Jewish people. Ki'hod Rab Zera. Like Rab Zera. Ki'avim Mashkach Rabbonan Demaskive. When he encountered when he encountered the Rabbanon, who were Osek, who were involving themselves in Moshiach, what does that mean? In trying to figure, to calculate when Moshiach is coming, Amar Lui said to them, "Bematusa minaychu, please, with permission, loitir chakua, please don't make it come farther away. Don't push it back. The Tani, because we learned, Gimel Boyin Behesach Hadas, there are three things that come Behesach Hadas through distraction. The less you think about it, so to speak, the better it is. Elohim, these are they: Moshiach, Mitzia, the Akrov. The Moshiach, Mitzia, lost objects, and Akrov, and scorpions. What is this supposed to mean? What's the Gemara thinking? Right. The less you think about it, the better. That's the way the Gemara makes it sound. Stop, don't calculate. Don't try to figure out when it's supposed to come. Don't focus on it. The less you do, the better it is. Okay. Now the Efes Otzur VaOzuv that the Gemara started with is a situation that the Gemara is describing. That there's the Klal Yisrael seem to be to a great degree helpless. They seem to be to a great degree helpless. Like, what's going to happen? They're not progressing. They're not doing great. Klal Yisrael finds themselves in a very, very desperate situation. When the Mishnah says, for instance, all we can rely on is Avinu Shebashamayim, when it says it as part of the simonim, the signs of Achris Hayamim, we don't see ourselves being able to get our act together. We don't see ourselves being able to do it. So we turn. We have therefore nothing. Nothing is helping us. Now one could understand that materially, and say that we can't figure it out. We have this situation here in the Middle East, and we're going to fight this war. But then what happens? What are we going to do after that? So we're still going to have all these nations who are around us who want to destroy us. Like, how do we get out of this situation? So we could say, we're done in terms of our physical efforts. Like, how are we going to be able to do things? So the only choice we have is to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it sounds from the Pasuk, and certainly the way the Gemara is interpreting the Pasuk when it brings Rabbi Zeira as an indication of this, is that we're even including Kivayocho HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this. That's why the Pasuk says Kivayoch. That's why the Gemara says when the Darshan is Kivayocho Ein Tzemech Bein Ezer LiYisrael. So to speak, kivayochel is when you say things that the way they appear, but it's not really a accuracy, right? When you speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, in physical means, we say kivayochel, it's as if nobody's helping the Jewish people, including HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which goes on over here to lead to this idea that we say that, Moshiach comes with Hesach Hadas. Moshiach is divine help. So a person sitting there thinking about the Rabbanu Shalom, great, he's not thinking about his missiles, he's not thinking about his brigades, he's not thinking about all of those things, he's just thinking about the Rabbanu Shalom. Great, fantastic. No, says the Gemara, don't calculate HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the picture. Now the Gemara clearly does not mean that we're not going to be davening to Hashem, right? We know better than that. We know clearly, what?
Tuesday night we're supposed to.
Right, and thanks for the ad. So we always know that our reaction to a sara is to be mispal to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we're talking here is not about turning to Hashem and saying, HaRibbono Shel Olam, please, please help us. It's about this sort of confident reliance. Oh, okay, I see, this thing is leading to this thing, is leading to that thing. Moshiach is coming. Moshiach somehow, to some degree, factors into the equation. That's what the Gemara is speaking about. Hesach Hadas means not that you're not thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hesach Hadas means that you're not sitting there scheming and saying, oh, these are the steps, these are the methods, this is what's going to happen, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the Geula. It's all lining up to this. Right, send me the email with the 7 signs of why the Geula is coming in 2009. It's not a Seder. It's not an order in that way. And this is the first theme that the Maral is going to really be speaking about over here. What's this idea? What's this idea of Moshiach coming specifically Behesach Hadas? So, he says like this. The Gemara lists three things: Metzia, Akrav, and Moshiach. Moshiach, Metzia, and Akrav. So he says like this: the world has a Seder. The world has an order. When a person, budgets for their year, so they figure out based on the order of things what the projected cost they're going to have. Okay, I know that this is my mortgage payment. I know that there's this thing, there's that thing, there's the other thing. This is the projected income. I usually have so many clients and it produces this much money. Maybe you even take in factors. Okay, there are always some unexpected expenses, right? There are always some fluctuation in income. You go up and down. You project things according to a certain Seder Ha'olam. There's a certain anticipated ordering of things. That's fair. That's, to a great degree, the pattern through which the world works. But there are, the unexpected. Again, to some degree, because we know that the Seder is not perfect, the order isn't perfect, so we expect something, sometimes we expect the unexpected. However, there is the factor of what is Lefi HaSeder, and there's the factor of those things which are indeed completely unexpected within the order of the world. Says the Maral, in a classic sense, within the order of the world, we have unexpected positive surprises and we have unexpected negative surprises. In the realm of unexpected positive surprises is Metzia. Metzia is, you find something, right? You're walking down the street and suddenly you come upon this thing that you face, a wad of cash, right? And you
win lottery.
Right, you win the lottery. Well, there you're trying to plug into the Metzia. Okay. Something happens. The stuff which never really happens, but you always imagine happens, right? You go into Target to buy a pad of paper, and ding, 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 our 1 millionth customer, right? Now you're free for the rest of your life. You don't plan. You don't predict these things. It's a Metzia. Right, it's a find, right? And whatever, even after you go and you check to try to identify the owner of the water cash, it's not found, right? It's yours, right? It's yours. It's a windfall. It comes out of the blue. It's not expected. Of course, it's not exclusively a metzia. Metzia is a prototype of those things, benefits which can come to us in the world that was not planned for, was not anticipated, was not prepared. It just, so to speak, happened, mikra. On the flip side, you have negative things which could happen that way too. And the prototype of that is the akrav, the scorpion, which is used in Mishnah, in Gemara, as the example, so to speak, of the most damaging kind of a thing, negative thing, a scorpion bite. Very, 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 very harmful and destructive. And the idea is that sometimes, heaven forbid, there could be things that come, shalom yiseder ha'ilam, not expected, not even within an order of things in the world, something just pops up, and that's destructive, that's not lefi seder ha'ilam. These things happen. They come behesach hadas. They come by distraction. What does that mean? Because in truth, there's no real way to anticipate them or to prepare for them. You can have a person who, for a living, goes around, you know, as a beachcomber, right? You know, he goes around looking for lost objects. And that's not what we're talking about, Dvarim that are boim behesachadas. You know, a person who goes around looking in the return, in the change thing, in the telephones, you know, so everything which he finds there is, you know, like is a lost object, you know, but that's not what we're talking about behesachadas. Metzia. You know, there are things which happen in the world, a windfall that comes out of the blue. Positive, leinu, negative as well, with the Akrav. In that category is Mashiach. So explains the Maral that he says that there are things which are very much within this world that come hesachadas because they're a mikra within this world. It's part of the world, but it's not part of the normal order of things. It doesn't fit the usual patterns. Moshiach is also not part of the order of the world. Moshiach is also not part of the order of the world. And the way it functions, not being part of the order of the world, is differently. It's not escaping the order of the world because it's a fluke or a chance. It's escaping the order of the world because the whole nature of Mashiach is a change in Seder HaElam. It's not within the order of things the way they exist in the world. It's something which is outside of this world. Now to figure, and therefore the Maral goes on and to say that to figure and to factor and say, okay, you know, here is where Mashiach comes, would be to some degree narrowing it and making it indeed part of the Seder, part of the order. Okay, when A happens, B happens, C happens, then comes Mashiach. But that compromises the whole nature of Mashiach. Mashiach is Shalom Seder Ha'elam. It is something outside of this world. So to start making your calculations, reading your Daniel, you know, doing your codes, you know, and trying to calculate it's going to be this year, that year, or the other year, that is imprisoning Mashiach in the confines of this world. By a different form, by a slightly different shape, yes, that's true, but fundamentally that's what it's doing. And that is, if anything, pushing away Mashiach. To shrink Mashiach into that picture is not the way indeed it can work. It's an interesting idea, and it's a significant idea. You know, I have a good friend who, Le'alein Rachmona Tzlan, his wife was very, very, very sick. And I was talking to him at the time, and he told me something which gave him a lot of chizuk. He said that, you know, he was a teacher, mechanech. Is a teacher, mechanech, and he was walking into school one day, and he met his boss, the principal, and he said to him, "Nusa, how are things?" And it was at a very difficult time. His wife Melech passed away, but he said, "Where we're standing," he says, "Bederach Hateva, in the way of nature, you know, it's very bad. You know, nothing's happening." So his Manal said to him, he says, "You know that for us, Mashiach is also b'derech hateva. Mashiach is also part of nature. In other words, for us, the natural state of affairs is miraculous. We believe, you know, in that as just part and parcel of everything." It was a chizuk to him. Now, it's an interesting statement, because Mashiach is not b'derech hateva. Mashiach is not in the way of nature. If one wants to be very picky about the statement, it's inaccurate. But of course, in a certain sense, what the statement is saying is absolutely true, which is that, you know, for us, we have a fundamental belief in Mashiach. We believe in Mashiach as much as we believe that this is a table. We believe in Mashiach, absolutely, that such a thing is going to come into this world. So you're going to go and just say, "Oh, my options are limited because of, you know, A, B, and C." To us, this is a reality. So options are never just limited by the matters of this world. Yes, short of something happened to intervene at this point in time, that could be what would happen, but it's never, never going to be completely closed down. There's a remarkable comment from the Ramban. Remarkable comment from the Ramban. Sarah was rebuked for laughing. Remember, the Malachim came and they said to Avram in earshot, deliberately in earshot of Sarah, that in a year they've come back and Sarah's going to have a child. Sarah laughed. She laughed inside her, saying, after all this, I'm going to have a child. And yes, she laughed skeptically. We're not asking the question, what's the difference between Sarah's laughter and Avram's laughter? When Avram heard, he laughed happily. However you see it in the pasuk, when Sarah heard, she laughed skeptically. But let's say she laughed skeptically. Let's accept that she laughed skeptically. Ask the Ramban, I don't understand. It says, the way you look at the parsha, it seems, and Ramban, you know, demonstrates this himself, that these people came. They were just some, right? He was feeding them. Why was he feeding them? Because they were angels, right? Angels don't need food, right? They eat angel food cake, right? So they don't need food. Chazal tell us, right? The Gemara says, you know, they look like they were eating because, you know, that was the custom of the place. But they came appearing to Avram Avinu as travelers, as Bedouin, whatever it was, who needed something. Who needed, you know, who were hot and hungry. So Avraham Avinu took care of them. So you have these wayfarers, these Arabs passing through, and they're coming and they're giving something to Avram and Sarah, and Avram and Sarah giving them something to eat. And when they finish, they say, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you, you should have a child. Right? You know, Avram's 100 years old, Sarah's 90 years old. They have, you know, they have some Mashiach coming through, and they treat him nicely, and he gives them an enthusiastic list of brachas. Can you blame Sarah for laughing? I mean, why should she think that because, you know, if a malach comes and says, I'm coming in the name of Hashem, and I'm telling you, you're going to have a child, and Sarah laughs, that's understandable, that Sarah should get slapped on the wrist for that. But here, these Arab wayfarers come and tell her this, and you're going to have complaints? Says the Ramban, okay, so it wasn't a prediction. Okay, so Sarah couldn't bank on it, that this is what was going to happen, that 1 year later it was going to happen, because just because these people said it doesn't mean that it's going to happen. But what are you laughing? You're laughing because you say it's ridiculous, because it's impossible, it's silly. Nothing is impossible. And therefore, when somebody gave her that bracha, she should have said, Amen. Amen. I hope that that's what it should be. Keni Ratzon. May that be the will of Hashem. There's nothing that stands in the way of Hashem being able to do this. I need someone to come and make a prediction that it's going to happen for me to agree to it as being a possibility. That was the taina on Sarah. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuked Sarah. Hayipole me Hashem davar? Is anything remote from Hashem? Is anything therefore remote from the realm of possibility? There's nothing in that category. That's why Sarah was rebuked. So what does that mean? That means that Moshiach is b'derech hateva, right? That means that a cure, which could not be anticipated by any scientific method or something else, is not something you should write off. But it's not b'derech hateva. It's not nature. It's something that we believe is always there, present as a possibility. But its whole content is that it's not according to the order of this world. We know that we live in a world of order, but we know that at the very, very same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevails over the world, and therefore the order of the world is not its limitation. But because of the fact that indeed it's michutz l'seder, because it's against the order, it's not something that we can ever anticipate. It's not something that we can ever specifically, in an ordered way, predetermine, judge, and accept. Chazal say in Medrash, in Devarim, by the Tfilos of Moshe Rabbeinu, that, you know, you can't have a situation where a person is mispalo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says that as well in Brachas. Each one says it in its own way, where the Tfilos, to some degree, are going to force HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. Right? A person who davens with confidence, right? What we call, what Chazal call in a negative sense, iyun tefillah. I'm davening this way. Of course, I'm going to be answered. So to some degree, again, what they're doing is they're putting things into the order of the universe. If I do this, then this is going to be the result. Now, in a certain sense, of course, even Teva, even nature requires the tefillahs of the people to indeed have it go. But by nature of things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not imprisoned by any order, by any Teva. That's exactly where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits. That's where Mashiach sits. Michutz l'derech ha'ilam. So there's no, you do this, you do that, and this is automatically going to happen. It's Shaloi b'terech ha'teva. It's not in an order of things. Mashiach comes Shaloi, not according to the Seder. When we calculate and we say, okay, it's going to happen here, it's going to happen there, to some degree we are trying to impose some kind of an order or system that, oh, by then Mashiach has to come. That's the way the world was set up. Mashiach is a complete revolution in Seder HaOlam, and therefore it cannot be held or contained within any such ordering of things.
It has a limit, which means, I think, sometimes the limit would come once the 6,000 years or whatever is finished.
Who says?
So it could be, there's no limit, could be even, you know, after 6,000 years, still Mashiach would not come.
That's what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said. He said, that's not the one medrash in Chazal that we have to take literally. Chazal said tons of things. And we understand, you know, exactly what, you know, what it is. Who says that that one is to be taken literally? There is such a Chazal. The person absolutely sure this is what it is, the time's up, you know, yatsu mi'ar ma'ashe yatsu, and so on and so forth. The Chazal say, it could be that it's literal. That's chicha v'sa ketz also. That's also a calculation of the ketz that we're limited from doing. We're limited from being able to do.
Like the
Ephraim did with Yitzias Mitzrayim. Like Klal Yisrael did, and the Umay Sa'ilam did with the Geula of the 7 years of Golus Bavel. By trying to calculate it, trying to figure it out. So, okay, I mean, Hashem has his cheshbon, however it'll fit in. Right? So, it'll be 6,000 years. When did the 6,000 years start? I don't know. But, like, just like Alina said, you know, 400 years of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you can make all kinds of calculations to figure out when that 400 years is. 7 years of Golus Bavel, you can make all kinds of calculations to figure out when that is. 6,000 years, you can also make all kinds of calculations. And it's not necessarily that we're here, we're holding 5769, so we are now 231 years away from the absolute final point of, we don't know. I'm not telling you to make a computer program for the year 6005, you know, but we don't know. Yeah.
It sounds like he's just saying that if it accords with Chazal, there is a group. Work from how to calculate
okay.
6,000 years in a phenomenon. Seems like he's making a point.
Okay, I hear. There may be some kind of a gvul. There may be some kind of a gvul, but evidently that gvul is still going to be too remote for us to be able to calculate, to imagine, to be able to figure. And we can't, and we don't, and it's farkert. That's perhaps to some degree what he says. That's what's madchik the case. Because we can't make Moshiach into something that's just another part of the world as we know it. And when we try to calculate it and figure it and define it and determine it based on that, in a great sense, that is what we're doing. In a great sense, that is what we're doing. It comes behesa chadas. Right? I'm very, very much uncomfortable with some aspects of the Mashiach talk. You know, there are aspects of the Mashiach talk which always have to be with us. Meaning, yearning for Mashiach, recognizing how imperfect the world is now, right? Not just because there's a war being fought today in Eretz Yisrael, but how imperfect our world is, a world without the revealed presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a world of everyone forgetting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a terrible thing. It's a mamish, a terrible, terrible thing. Yearning for Mashiach is always there. Recognizing the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that that should be able to be seen in the world, that's always something to, you know, think about. A person is supposed to be waiting for Mashiach every day, which doesn't necessarily mean, oh, I believe it's coming today, because then, right, that would be kind of difficult to understand, right, because we would have as many years as we lived of experience of believing that it's coming today that it didn't come, but it means yearning, at the very least yearning that it should come today. You know, it's not something that I want to wait for. It's not something I want it to come. I want it to come immediately. Right? The person has to have Moshiach thoughts like that all the time. But to step from yearning to figuring, to some degree, to, you know, to anticipate, okay, this is happening, this is now, this is Ikvus of the Mashiach, this is the signs, you know, must be the Mashiach's around the corner or something like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to want to bring Mashiach whenever he wants to bring Mashiach. Our job within the Seder HaElam, within the order of the world, where we live right now, is to do the best we can. To always make the most supreme efforts to do things well, to do things better, every moment, every instant. That's our job. To yearn for Mashiach, yes. To do our best that we can, and maybe merit something, fine. But to lock it in, forget about it. That's Hesach Hadas. Forget about it.
How does it fit in that you say if everybody does the right thing and do the mitzvahs, then Mashiach will come? So where is the Gevurah of that? Because right there we... predicting again that if everybody does this and this, Mashiach definitely would come. So that's no prediction for that too?
I'm inclined to say, you know, that it's calculating versus doing. We're supposed to try to be Mesak in the world. Right, and you know, the when we are going to be able through our efforts to make the world as much as it is possible a place of Hashem's revelation through people, so then that can lead, right, or that will lead to HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming and bringing it down. But there, that's a charge. It's a charge for us. Mashiach coming in 2009 is not a charge for us. Right, a charge for us is make the world good, and that brings Geula. That'll bring the Mashiach. Make the world good. So that becomes a charge. That becomes a responsibility. So that means that you're going to have a blackboard in your office, and or, you know, or a clock, you know, and you'll say, okay, we got now 100,624 people keeping Shabbos. You know, okay, we got, this guy just committed. Okay, we got to call in a number on line 4. Okay, we got another 3 people in that family. Right, let's move it up to 627, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, and well, you know, this is the Mashiach clock. That's not the Mashiach clock. Right? It's not the Mashiach clock. It's instead, let's just go and make the world better and better and better and better and better. That'll segue into HaKadosh Baruch Hu making the world better. That'll segue into HaKadosh Baruch Hu making the world better. It's a different thing. It's not a, you know, it's not a campaign to bring Mashiach. It's a campaign to do what we're supposed to do. Okay. So again, that's Malosai HaElyona. That's the ultimate Mila of Mashiach, above and beyond the order of the world. Uve Medrash. Then Maral goes on to speak about another aspect here. V'yavei Melech HaKavod. The Medrash says, refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the David Mizmor as the Melech HaKavod. Open the gates and let the King of Kavod, the King of Honor, enter. So the Medrash says, Lama nikra shmei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech HaKavod. Why was Hashem called the Melech HaKavod? Because, says the Medrash, Shuchele Kavod Lebrius. Because he shares of his honor with his creatures. Ketzad, how's that? Melech Basar Vadam, a king of flesh and blood, in Rechven al Susa, you're not allowed to ride on his horse. Famous Damshim Sharvita, you're not allowed to use his scepter. Vein Yeshvan al Kisa, you don't sit on his throne. Vein Leishan al Tarashala, you're not allowed to wear his crown. Avla Kodesh Baruch Hu, but Hashem, Hirkeves Elio al Susa. He let Elio ride on his quote unquote mount, his horse. How's that? Because the Pasuk refers to Hashem as riding in the Sara, riding in the whirlwind, and Elio Anavi was brought up to the heavens riding on the whirlwind. So he shared it with him. Right? His rod he gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu took the Mateo Elohim. Right? He took the staff of Hashem. And Shlomo HaMelech is described as sitting on Kisei Hashem, on Hashem's throne, to be a king of the Jewish people. Ah, the crown. The crown is Toshis L'Roshay HaTeres Paz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will place the golden crown upon his head. HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed his own crown. Says the Gemara, says that's the Medrash. And it brings the Gemara to Sanhedrin, brings this drasha without the last one, without the crown. So what does this mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech HaKavod, because he shares Kavod, he shares his honor with his Briyos, with his creatures. So he says like this. He says, think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as king. And a king, in his function, in his role, has different functions. So the first is that you have to some degree, make the king higher. You have to put him ahead. You know, just like you have a principle, you know, of Seil Charav, you have a principle of Seim Tosim Alecha Melech. You got to put somebody at the lead. You have to put somebody at the lead. You know, you get together a bunch of people, they work together wonderfully, and so on and so forth. But if you sit around the table and nobody is taking the leadership role, you're going to end up with nothing. Right? You need to have somebody who's going to lead, who's going to coordinate, who's going to make it happen. There has to be somebody Bereish, somebody at the head. So that's the first thing, is that the Melech is going to be above everybody. The second thing is that he's Meishel Aleihem, that he rules over them, that his position is not just a position, he is the leader, but as the leader, he then has some degree of control. And the third is that he uses the power of his Malchus in order to be able to impose a healthy Seder, a healthy order within the community. Instead of it being Ishes Re'eu Chayim Beloyin, instead of people, you know, swallowing each other up alive, instead we have Melech b'mishpat yamid eretz, that the king brings order and justice. One of the roles of the king is to judge and to decide things. Those are the different functional aspects of the king. And all together, all three of them translate into what we would call the malchus, right? The kingdom as such. One is you put him ahead, you put him in control of, you know, being able to, you know, to determine, to rule by fiat, and the other is that he's going to be the one to bring the order into the world. Together, that's the package. So the Maral says, that's how we have it, those are the different parts. The sus, you know, riding on the horse, is a sign of raimimus. It's just a sign of the king, you know, being above, right? This, you know, standing there, you know, whatever, riding there in his mount, is a certain mala, a certain level that he has over the people. The rod represents control, and the kisei and the throne, he brings indications from psukim, is referring to mishpat. So these are the different things, and the crown refers to the package, you know, the whole package deal of what it means to be the melech. So normally, a king has those things, and nobody's allowed to share them, because if anybody shares them, so then what that does is that undermines the power of the king. The king's control is this way. It's a control to some degree from the outside. However, says the Maral, what's distinct about Malchus Shamayim is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to share all of these things. Why? Because given that everything that exists in the world is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then he's not really sharing. He's not sharing. You share, when sharing, let's put it this way, when sharing reduces, is when you're sharing with somebody who's separate. A subject of the king is a subject of the king, right? But because to some degree he's his own person. He's not completely and totally and absolutely dependent on the king. He's a person with a mind of his own. So therefore, the king can delegate him to some degree as a deputy, but he has to always, watch that it remains a delegation, that it's limited, and there are going to be lines that can't be crossed, because then that person, who's an independent person per se, will be taking something that's really a division, taking it away from HaKadosh Baruch. However, when it comes to Utef from the king, but when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there really is no such thing as Shituf. There is really no such thing as the person thereby becoming as a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he somehow becomes an equal. He can never become an equal. Even if he shares all of the trappings, even if he shares all of the things, he never becomes an equal. It's all deriving from Hashem. Do you understand what he's saying? Hashem can never give something away, because everything is fundamentally in his Rishus. So even if he puts it in somebody's hands, it's still his. However, when you speak about a regular king, as much as he has a certain eminent domain, we understand the limitations of that. He gives it to somebody, so then it's something which to a great degree is taken away. The Malchus of Moshiach is Kisei Hashem. It is the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, the judgment of the Beis Din is Lifnei Elokim. It's the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's never going to be that person. Let me try to explain this idea a little bit more.
Because in truth, this is very, very much, it's not an absolute. And it becomes part of the challenge which we have, in our lives in general, in our attitude towards the blessings which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, and how we approach it. Are we taking something from Hashem, or are we keeping something with Hashem? Example, case in point. The Gemara says, we have a contradiction. On the one hand, it says, L'Hashem Ho'aretz U'Malaya. On the other hand, it says, Ho'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. To Hashem is the world in its entirety. On the other hand, it says, the earth Hashem gave over to man. How do you resolve it? Says the Gemara, it depends whether it's before you make the bracha or after you make the bracha. Before you make the bracha, it belongs to Hashem. After you make the bracha, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to you. The Gemara goes together with another passage where it says that a person who is benefiting from this world without a bracha, it's like he's taking something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's like being mayel b'kotshe shemayim, like he's taking something from the Beis HaMikdash's treasure houses. What's the idea? Because as soon as you attribute and you recognize that everything which you have is mamish from Hashem, then you're not taking anything from Him. Then you're not taking it from Him. When you eat it, you're not taking it from Him. You're using that which you still recognize as being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not the idea, okay, give me the bracha, then I'm going to give it to you. Right? I'm going to give it to you. When giving it to you is going to be, to a great degree, keeping it with me. And it's not because of Hashem's greed and reach, right? But ultimately, right, in the truth of the matter, the greatest gift that we have is when we're going to be able to recognize exactly how it is, where it is, how it's still inherently connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when the Medrash says that there were a number of Ashirim, a few wealthy people that existed in the world, like Korach, like Haman, but they grabbed it for themselves. Right? They didn't perceive that the wealth came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, now that means that it was taking it from Hashem. You can't have that. When you recognize that you are really just holding on to that which belongs to Him, you're constantly mevorech Hashem, that you realize that it's all coming from Him, then indeed, you're sharing. What you're doing is therefore an extension of Hashem, and it's not taking something away from Him. That's the world of a difference. That's ultimately what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to do. This is a difference, actually, that we also have in the text of Brachas. Give me a second. It's found in the Gemara. And Haroa Chachmei Yisrael, a person who sees Jewish sages. He says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shecholak Mechachmasai Liyareiv. Blessed is Hashem who shared of his wisdom with those who fear him. If he sees Chachmei Umes Haolam, if he sees wise people of the nations of the world, Shechachamim Mechachmei Haolam, that have great wisdom and the wisdom of the world in science or whatever else it is, he says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shenosan Mechachmasai Lebasar Vadam. That he gave, not that he shared, that he gave of his wisdom, not to those who fear him, but to basar v'dam, to flesh and blood. Al hamalachim, on kings. What happens if a person sees a king? So if he sees a Jewish king, he says, blessed are you Hashem, shechalak mekvaydai, that shared of his honor with those who fear him, liyareiv. If he sees a non-Jewish king, he says, shenosan mekvaydai, that he gave of his kavod, of his honor, to basar v'dam, to flesh and blood. So, in both in the case of wisdom and in the case of power, we can speak about sharing, Hashem sharing his power with us, or nosan, giving his power. And it seems that the better version in both cases is shecholak, as opposed to shenosan. So, what's the idea? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, this is just the classic commentary, She'am Hashem heim chelek eloka. The people of Hashem are the portion of Hashem. Udveikim by, and they are attached to him. V'chein amar shecholak. That's why he says that he shared. Because to some degree, he still has it. He has it in our pockets. He has it with us. But it's still with him. But as opposed to what it's going to say in Tziv Zion, where we're speaking about the nations of the world, there again, it's Shenosan. He gave it away. That's outside. That's separate from Hashem. So that's what we understand over here in this Chazal, that a king, right? You know, his people, as much as they are his subjects, right? But they're not really sharing with him. Where is the king going to be more likely to grant powers? The person he feels most committed to him, most wrapped up with him, that's where he's going to give more, because it's not taking away from me. He's just doing it, going to be doing it on my behalf. But then he can always end up being surprised, right? Because, this one who I thought with me is really not with me. And they will lose it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to, as opposed to Melech Basar V'dam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to share. Because in the truest sense, we are completely his. We are a part of his. We are completely dependent on him. To the extent that we recognize it, Klal Yisrael, as Yirei Hashem, we recognize it. Everything we have from Hashem, for Hashem. We're really trying to keep it with Hashem. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to give it to us. I don't feel like I'm conveying this clearly enough. Am I conveying it clearly enough? Huh?
I mean, it's heavy.
He has a maimer very good way back in the Netzach Yisrael, where he speaks about the identity of Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch. You know, like the enemies of Klal Yisrael, the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, he talks about the HaKadosh Baruch can't ever give anything away because he's the giver and we can take
it. I am not sure what specifically you're referring to, but I have to look at it.
We started off by saying that a human king cannot give away these certain aspects because then he loses them. But of course, Baruch can't give away because he keeps them. And here we have a bracha where he gives away and keeps them, and then where he gives them away and doesn't keep them. So it doesn't seem to stem
right.
With.
Okay, so that's when I started. I said to some degree, this guy's how we're supposed to react to it. In other words, yes, you're right. It's an absolute contradiction, right? Here you're saying, he gave it away, right? They took it. Of course, a person has the option, a person has the bechira at any time to be able to say, I'm taking it from Hashem, okay, or whatever, I'm taking it and I'm keeping it. Alternatively, that person has the option of somehow keeping it in. The way we choose to formulate how we relate to the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us will, to a certain degree, be self-fulfilling as to how it is, whether we're taking it as part of Hashem or whether we're just taking it, so to speak, from Hashem and running with it as it is to be something of our own, on our own. So in the truest sense, Hashem never surrenders anything. In the truest sense, because he can always take it back, he can always bring it back. But Hashem is most ready, so to speak, to surrender and give something to someone where there will never even be a pretense of it being taken away from him. So where he's never even going to claim it in the greatest sense as his own. Our job is to, as much as possible, identify Rabbeinu Shalom. Indeed, when it's with us, it's with you.
So are we saying that in the case of the Jews where we're sharing, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, like we take it, we choose to go to Kodesh Baruch Hu, let us have it, but in the case with, I guess, the wealthy Haman and Korach, they take it and they don't attribute the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, now maybe you're taking me, I have to come get it back or something?
He may say, in the short term, I have to come get it back. Certainly, he views it as given away. It's given away. Right? When he gave kavod to the kings of the nations of the world, he gave them kavod. When he gave them wisdom, they're going to do with it whatever they want. When he did it with Klal Yisrael, so then the ideal, the hope is that I'm not just giving them, they can do with it what they want. In a sense, I'm saying they're the ones who are going to be me. They're the ones who are going to be expanding, you know, my realm of dominion and of wisdom. It's all together. It is that way. That's the goal. You know, it says in the halacha, it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, that when a person davens Shemana Esrei, a person who says at the end of Shemana Esrei, Asei Leman Shemecha, Asei Leman Yiminecha, Asei Leman Kedush Osecha, Asei Leman Teresachra. You notice, we say that at the end, do it for the sake of your name, do it for the sake of your strength, do it for the sake of your holiness, do it for the sake of your Torah. So he's zeichu mekabel pnei Hashchina, right? He'll see Hashem. Because look what we just did. We went in our tefillos, we asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for an entire laundry list of things. And when we finish, we say, Rabbeinu Shalom, it's not for me. Do it for you. And what we're saying is we're not taking it. It's not like we're asking for this so we should take it. We want to be your portion. We want to be your extension. So therefore, be chaylik. Share of your kavod, share of your honor, share of your wealth, share of whatever it is, whatever you have with us, because we're you. We're doing for you. Everything, every effort which we're making is directed in the same way towards you.
How do we share, though? It's not an easy concept. I mean, if I go out and I want a nice suit or something, am I sharing? Am I sharing? Am I taking the money, the blessings he's given me, and buying myself something to adorn myself? Is that sharing?
Well, a shechiyana would be a beginning of it.
Yes. Let me read to you the Rama.
Could this have been the failure of Bakrachba that he said, we'll take it from here, just, you know, don't get in the way. So he took that.
It's a constant. It was his failure. It was Asa's failure. It was many times we find this, that to some degree we try to take over, to take it for ourselves. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos. Hilchos Deos is the, so to speak, the halachos of Midos, and the Rambam and how we conduct ourselves. And the Rambam writes as follows. Person has to direct his heart and all of his actions just to know Hashem. That should be the single motivation of everything that the person does. When he sits down, when he gets up, when he speaks, everything is oriented towards this goal. Ketzad, how's that? When he does business, or yasim alach, or does his craft, litoschar, to get paid, he shouldn't have in his heart, because I want to make money. Says, I need to have money, so I can have things to sustain myself physically. I have what to eat, I have what to drink, I have where to live. Okay, so I just don't want to have money, I want to have it for things. But then what about those things? When I eat and when I drink, you shouldn't say, oh, because I like eating, I like drinking, I like having a nice house around me, I like having a nice wife. No. Then, says the Rambam, you know, he's going to eat what he likes eating, what's sweet to his palate, he'll, you know, and so on and so forth. I'm eating and drinking to be strong and healthy. Okay, so I'm not working just to make money, I'm working to have food and drink. Why am I having food and drink? Not just to have pleasure, but to be healthy. Okay, and so therefore he's going to have a healthful lifestyle. Now, you're going further. Hamani gatzmi al pi harefua im sama libe shi yechol gufei vor shleim bilvad shi loy banim eisim lachtei amel mitzorcha enzu derech teva. Then he says, now why is he eating and drinking to be healthy? Just stam to be healthy? So he'll be able to be healthy, he'll be healthy, his children will be healthy, he'll be able to do his work with health. He wants to be healthy so he's able to focus without distraction on the knowledge of Hashem. Ultimately, he's making it that everything which he's doing is to enable to accomplish whatever the ultimate goal is. And the word the Rambam uses to describe the ultimate goal is knowledge of Hashem. He says, because come on, if a person's sick or hungry or so on and so forth, it's very hard for him to focus on greater things. You know, you need to have menucha. This, by the way, you know, is the Rambam's explanation of a very significant thing. The Rambam says, Rambam's opinion is that the reward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us is in a completely different world, a world of the spirit, a world of Olam HaNeshamas. Right, the Rambam, even when Mashiach comes, even when Tchias HaMesim comes, it's all just a way station to an Olam HaNeshamas, to a world of the souls, to never, never land. So if that's the case, or ever, ever land. So if that's the case, so what's the Torah mean when it says, if you're going to do this, I'm going to promise you rain, and I'm going to promise you this and that and the other thing. What are you talking about? That's not what the reward is. That's not what the reward is at all about. So the Rambam says, when the Torah says that, what it's saying is, if you're going to show that you're interested in serving Hashem, then Hashem says, I'll try to make it easier for you. And I'll give you rain, and I'll give you plenty, I'll give you all of these things, because that way you'll have support, you'll have an environment, you'll have things that will help you in being able to do more. That's it. When we're doing these things, it's because we understand that having things together helps us to be able to serve Hashem. Nimtza mahalech b'derech zu kol yomav ovedes Hashem tamid. A person who goes in this way, all of his days, is constantly serving Hashem. Constantly. Because everything which he's doing, afilu b'shah shenayisim v'nayisim, even when he's doing business, afilu b'shah shabayil, even when he's having intimacy, everything, machshavtei b'kol k'dei sheyim tzatzrachav ad sheyikuv Hashem ovedes Hashem. His thought in everything which he does is to just make him more effective and more in a position to be able to do for Hashem. So says the Rambam, he's even serving Hashem when he sleeps. Because why is he sleeping? He's sleeping so he can replenish his strength to be able to do good things. And he says, that's what Chazal said, Kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. Everything you should do for the sake of heaven. And Shlomo HaMelech said in his wisdom, b'chol drachecha da'eil, in all of your paths, know him, hu yashar chesecha, and he'll make those paths clear and straight for you. What's the Rambam saying? Okay, now let's get this straight. This is hard. Okay, it's hard. Because we're human beings. And when we eat something, you know, even if it's the most healthy thing in the world, it's not like when we go to the gasoline station and put some gas in our car. You know, as much as Amoco tries to tell you how delicious the clear gasoline looks, right? That doesn't give you much more of an appetite to put Amoco gasoline in your car than something else. But you know, if somebody's going to tell you this is the most healthful diet, right? And it is delicious. You say, okay, fine, great. I'll think about it because I can kill two birds with one stone. Right? I can indulge my desire for, you know, for good food, which has nothing to do with Hashem, so to speak. And I can take my body so I can be productive for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The notion that even when I want to have something that tastes good, it's that I'll be in a better mood, so I'll be able to serve Hashem, you know, that takes a real, real serious focus on the part of a person. And what the Rambam's calling upon us, you know, again, his short-term goal in this is, okay, so that means when you eat, when you drink, when you behave, do it in the way which is most helpful, which launches him into the fourth chapter of Hilchos Deos, where he gives his famous medical advice about how you can conduct yourself in the most healthy way. Right? That's the short-term goal. Eat in a way which will make you most productive. Live your lifestyle in a way which will make you most productive. But the goal that he pictures, the vision, that everything is for Hashem, means you're doing that, so you're getting a nice new suit. So you want it because you like to have a nice new suit, you like to look good. So then, I mean, again, which is normal. I mean, there's nothing critical here, right? It's normal. That's what, you know, that's why most people will want it. So, yeah, there's something lacking. That means that action that we're doing there is on a divergent path. We're not serving God, so to speak, absolutely full time, right? We have our own angle. Now, we might bring it back a little bit because we could say, you know something, when I feel, you know, strongly about how I present, so then I'm able to accomplish more. Or when they see it, but you know, that, sometimes that's like a spiel. You know, how many times people say, you may be wondering why I bought that $700,000 car. It's very, very important for my customers to see me in a nice car, right? So explain to me the stereo system, you know?
What it's long to sleep during this spiel.
You know, we can fool ourselves. We can fool ourselves. But you know what? When we strive, and to some degree, we're going to always have this sort of like litmus test for the things which we're doing. Are they doing something to enhance what is of real, real value in our enterprises in the world? And we're going to try as much as we can. It's very hard. Very, very hard. Try doing it. I said, try doing it for 3 hours. Not for your life. Try doing it for 3 hours. Try for 3 hours making every decision as to what you will do, won't do, what you're going to eat, what you're going to read, what you're going to, you know, this is what you look at. It's just going to be because by doing this, I'm going to be enhancing the service of Hashem. Really, really hard. Really, 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 really hard. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about Yireyav, imagine how he would want to share with them. Imagine how he would want to share with them. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared with most from anybody since Adam HaRishon. What was he described as? V'chol Beisi Neman Hu. He's the most faithful in my entire household, my entire, you know, realm, my entire staff. What does it mean he's the most faithful? He has no agenda for himself. Right? He gave up eating. Right? When he went up on Har Sinai, he gave up his family life, he gave everything. Moshe Rabbeinu gave himself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely. So with him I share. I'm not giving up anything when I give it to Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm not giving up anything. I'm not giving up anything. So that's the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Melech HaKavod, Hashem can afford to share. Because ultimately everything belongs to him. But it's not just simply the fact that everything belongs to him, because then it would be true he'll share with anybody. Because I belong to him. I can always pull the plug on them, right? Look at this Shecholak and Shenosan. When you attribute it to Hashem, when you are Yorei Hashem, and you see it as still being in his hands, then you're really not giving it up. Then it's going to be something very, very significant. Then Hashem's not giving it up. In fact, because he can take it back, and you're not making it a challenge for him to take it back. You know, you're trying to work very, very much with it.
Yeah. We're talking about this.